Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Get into that realm of His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. His presence is powerful. It is anointing you now. It is flowing in your spirit right now. Oh, Rabbo Jebra Danda. For one thing, says the Lord, you should know about me, is that I want always, always you to be filled with the Spirit. I want you to be full. It's not a one-time experience. It's not just one time being refreshed and energized and empowered, but it's a daily walking in the Spirit. You can have a greater abundance of my presence and greater abundance of my power. Do not settle for a one-time experience. You know, when you read the Bible, it says, be filled with the Spirit. And then it says they were filled on the day of Pentecost. And then they went down in the fourth chapter and they were filled again. And all through the book of Acts, they were being filled and filled and filled. And I will fill you to overflowing. And out of your innermost being will flow rivers, plural, of living water. The gifts of the Spirit will function. Words of knowledge and wisdom will come. And you will see that your hands are anointed and you can put them on the sick and they will recover. Don't lose the desire for the fullness of the Spirit. I am a generous God. I want to give you all that will take you through every situation, trial, and perplexity, and make you a bold and strong, overcoming witness for me, says the Lord.
Amen. Pastor David, I just sense we all need to stand this morning here. Let's all repeat. Let's all stand up, and let's repeat this out loud. The Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
And His mercy endures forever.
And His mercy endures.
Come on, say it with a little bit of unction. The Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
His mercy endures forever.
And His mercy
endures. One more time. The Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever.
His mercy endures forever.
And I hear the Holy Spirit saying that is the song I give you. That is the song I gave Jehoshaphat. When the enemy came in, I wanted to hear a song. I wanted to hear a praise. For when their praise came to me and I heard the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever, I went to fight for them. I went to battle for them. I want to hear your praise. Do not let the enemy take your praise. Do not let the enemy shut your mouth. For in the time of trial and hardship, pressures, all you need to do is say, the Lord is good, and the mercy, His mercy endures forever. And so, Father, this day, we just thank you. Come on, let's just worship the Lord right now. You can just whisper it. You can shout it out. But Lord God, when we see you, that you're good and your mercy endures, you go to fight, you see, you hear, you move, you work on our behalf. And so this day, Lord God, whatever need may be in the house, Lord, as we look to you and as you worship, you are looking for worshipers, Lord. We draw near to you, you draw near to us. And so this day is the day of the Lord, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. But one more time, let's give a shout to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Amen. Amen, amen. Before you sit down, find three or four people, give them a high five, and tell them the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. It's good to be in Gateway on a Sunday morning in the house of God with the people of God to hear the word of God from the man of God and to celebrate the goodness of our God in this midst. Welcome to Gateway on a Sunday morning. It's good to be. Pastor David, the presence of God is here. It's been here all morning. God's doing some wonderful things and will continue to do that here this day. So let your expectation be high today.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
We're in a great series on the Holy Spirit, and I am excited to share this series of messages with you. This really comes, I'm just going to share personally today from my own personal experience. I will preach the Word of God to you and share a lot of scriptures, but really want to, I want to come at this from a very personal approach, because for me, the experience of the Holy Spirit, who the Bible calls the Helper, that experience for me has been the most important experience of my life. Now, I was raised in a Christian home, and my parents believed in Jesus, and I learned scriptures as a child and all of that. But my life never really changed. I never really had a powerful change in my life until I discovered the Helper, until I experienced some of the things that I'm going to be sharing with you today. So as I share the story and I ask the question, I want you to just listen with your heart and ask the Lord, Lord, is there more for me? Is there more of a personal relationship that I could have with the Holy Spirit? I believe that as you commit and as you begin to experience the Holy Spirit personally for yourself, the way I have, that your life is really going to go to a whole new level. My message this morning is themed around a question, and the question is this: are you filled and ready? Are you filled and ready? And our passage is the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 25. And it's the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Let me read it to you and it'll be up on the screen. This is the New Living Translation. Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps. But the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him.' All the bridesmaids got up, prepared their lamps. But the five foolish ones asked the others, 'Please, give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out.' But the others, the wise ones, said, 'We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves.'" Turn to somebody next to you and say, "You got to get your own oil." Just do that right now. "You got to get your own oil." Just tell them right now. All right, now here we go, because the story still goes. This is Jesus. This is Jesus, the storyteller. He's telling us a story to make a point. And the story goes on. And he says, "But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he called back, 'Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return.'" How many of you in this room and in the cafe, you believe that the Lord is going to return? You believe Jesus is coming back? I do too. And that's exactly what this story is about. But this story is not just about the fact that he will return, but it's about how we must be ready for his return. And that's what's so important for us. That's where this all connects in to the Holy Spirit, to the Helper. Because this story is about lamps, and it's about oil, and it's about people running out, and people that were wise enough to make sure that they had enough oil. What does all this really mean? Let me unpack this story just a little bit, because there's some cultural information that you need in order to make sense of this story. This parable is describing the soon return of Jesus Christ. He is the bridegroom in the story. And we know that from passages like Ephesians chapter 5, where we are called the bride of what? Christ. We're the bride of Christ and he's the bridegroom. So we have this relationship that we have with Jesus, right? It's a close relationship, and the marriage supper of the Lamb is coming. And when he returns, we're going to go to that marriage supper. So this is really why he's telling this story in the way he's telling it. But in the day of Jesus and the people that Jesus was talking to when he first created this story, everybody kind of understood how weddings worked. And weddings worked a little bit differently then than they work now. The way weddings worked then really sheds a lot of light on the story. What would happen is the bridegroom and his friends would usually leave his home to go fetch the bride. So they would go and they would come as a great wedding party and they would show up at her house. Usually it was at night. And when they arrived, there would be a shout, "Hey, he's ready." It was like a big celebration, right? This is kind of how they did it. And then the bride was inside the house waiting. She didn't know the hour. She didn't know when. But the surprise came when she heard the shout. How many know when Jesus comes, he's coming back with a shout? When she heard the shout, when the bride heard the shout, then she and her bridesmaids would come out into the street where the bride would join the groom, and then they would have a wedding march. They would have a procession. It was a nighttime march. They would march through the streets to the place where the ceremony would be complete, and they would have the marriage supper, and they would celebrate, and this is how they would become man and woman. It was a great feast. Well, in this story, it's pretty wild because the way Jesus is telling the story is the bridegroom and his men come, and they give the shout, but they were delayed. It took them a long, long time to get there. I don't know what they were doing, but they were late. And they came, and then the girls were asleep, and when they finally got woke up, five of the girls had their lamps. Now, this is a lamp that I got in Nazareth. I've been there four times, and this is just a very simple pottery. What they would do in those days, I know it's hard for you to see, this would be like a first century flashlight, okay? They would put a little pot like this with oil. They would drop in a little wick, a little cotton wick or linen. They would light the wick. The oil would wick up the wick, and then there would just be the smallest little light. And all these, the way they would do it is everybody, because this was a nighttime journey, everybody had to have their lamp. But in the story that Jesus has created for us to teach us, he says five of them, half of the 10, did not have enough oil. Now it doesn't say that they didn't have oil, but maybe they weren't expecting such a long wait. Maybe they thought the bridegroom would come sooner. So they were kind of chintzy. They just said, "I'll just take a little bit of oil. I'm sure he'll be here any minute. I could probably skate through with just a little bit of oil. And it'll all work out just fine." But five were a little brighter. They said, "You never know about these guys. You never know when they're going to come. And we're just going to make sure we have extra." So it wasn't that anybody didn't have oil. It was a question of how much oil they had. And so when the bridegroom finally came with his boys and they were shouting and then they go into the street, now the girls are waking up and they're going, "Oh man, my lamp has burned down and my oil has evaporated. I'm out. I've only got enough. I don't have enough for the journey. I'm not going to make it to the party." And what do? They do what charismatics do in our day. They say, "Hey, give me some of what you got. I won't get yours. Pray for me, bless me, impart to me." But the story is not, and what Jesus is not, he's not saying that we should be trying to get our oil from other people. He's saying every person should make sure they've got enough oil from God. That's really what the story's about. So the bridesmaids, they're kind of like, talk to the hand. I'm not sharing my oil. I'm keeping my oil with me because I got to run this journey by myself. So they're all gone and they send the girls to, the pharmacy or wherever you get oil at midnight, which is probably took a long, long time. Maybe they had to press oil. Maybe there was a big problem. They finally came late. The door was already closed. They couldn't be a part of the celebration. So Jesus makes this point. You better watch ye. Make sure that you have enough oil because you never know when you're going to need your oil. And what he's teaching us is really the most important thing about being ready for the return of Jesus Christ. The most important thing for all of us is to be ready by having a full supply of the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Lord. See, our lives are like this little lamp. You and I were created out of the earth to be containers. And we were created to hold something. And what we were created to hold is the presence of God and the glory of God. And what Jesus is saying is, fulfill your purpose. Make sure your heart, make sure your life is filled with oil so that you can always be shining and you'll never be embarrassed because you've run dry in life. God doesn't want you to run dry in the things of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be filled. So here's the message, and I think this is what we need to understand today, that every follower of Jesus should be well filled with the Holy Spirit. This is how we experience the Christian life of waiting for Christ. And we never know when he's coming. And we might be surprised when he's coming. But our job is not to figure out when he's coming. Our job is to make sure we're not running dry. How many understand what I'm saying? So how many of you want more of the Holy Spirit? You would just say, hey, I need some oil here. And you know what? God's going to give you some oil today. God's going to give you his presence. He's going to refill you. If you've experienced the Holy Spirit before, he's going to top you off. If you've never experienced the Holy Spirit before, he's going to fill you for the first time. But everybody's getting oil because this is essential for our Christian life. This is not optional. This isn't something that some people should experience and others don't have to. But this is for all believers. Now, this morning, we just have a few minutes together. At the end of the service, we're going to pray together. I'm going to ask the Lord to touch you and anoint you and fill you in a special way. I'm going to lead you in asking the Lord for more oil, and I believe God's going to touch you. We're going to worship the Lord together. It's going to be wonderful. I just have a few minutes to share a few simple points with you. I could say so many things about the Holy Spirit, but here are three things that I believe will change your life based on this parable about the Holy Spirit. Three life-changing truths. Number one, we need to be This is the first one. We need to be personally experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit. This is a personal experience. The Christian life, brothers and sisters, is not about what you believe. It involves what you believe. But the Christian life is much more than information and saying, okay, yes, I check this box. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that he rose from the dead. I believe that I can be born again. Yes, that is the information that you need. But the Christian experience is not an information experience. It is a filling experience. It is what happens when you let go of your old life and God fills your emptiness with a brand new life. The Christian experience is a bunch of crackpots receiving for their emptiness something great and something that gives light and gives power to them. So this is really what Jesus is teaching about the Christian experience. Now, on the day of Pentecost, a very famous day when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the early church, it was a crazy scene. You can read about it in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit was poured out. And that was the birth of the church and a very significant day. And Peter is explaining this because nobody knows what's going on. This is like, wow, what is happening here? And he stands up and he says this, each of you must, everyone say must. Now, please go slowly with me because each of you, that's the personal part, each of you must. Each of you personally must do what? Turn from your sins to God. I hope you've done that. I hope that you say, well, I'm not perfect. And I say, hey, either am I. Turning from your sins is changing your mind about your sins. You're going to be the rest of your life, and I'm going to be the rest of my life changing my behavior through the power of God. Where I begin is changing my mind. I look at my life differently. You say, well, I'll come to God when I'm ready to change my behavior or when I have the power to change my behavior. You don't have to change your behavior. All you have to do is change your mind and let God change your behavior. If you change your mind, God will change your life. So each of you must repent. You turn away, you change your behavior, you change your idea about life, turn from your sins and turn to God. And then what's supposed to happen? What are you supposed to do? A few of you should be baptized. Isn't that what it says? What does that verse say? Each of you, right? Must. So you must turn from your sin to Christ. You must be water baptized. I think we don't emphasize that enough. And I think it's wonderful in the last probably 30 or 45 days here in the church, I think somewhere almost 100 people have been water baptized. Awesome. And there are many, many more that need to be baptized. Each of you must be water baptized. That's a part of it. And in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and then he makes this amazing statement, then you will receive the gift. Each of you must receive the gift of what? The Holy Spirit. So he's talking about something that enters into our experience. Something that we didn't have that then begins to enter our experience. And it's not the born-again experience, because you've already turned from your sins and you've received Jesus Christ. And it's not just the water baptism experience, because you've already had that. That's part two of the package, right? But the third thing is the Holy Spirit will be given to you. And that's the part that we have to pay special attention to. We need to experience that. What he's saying is that a greater and a fuller measure of the Holy Spirit is to fill a person's life after they receive Christ. Now, I want to be really careful about this, because a lot of times when people teach on the Holy Spirit, they get this wrong. They leave people with the wrong impression. That's the cause of a lot of fights, and I don't like fights. I like truth, all right? So here's the truth. The truth is, if you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. Do you agree with this? So there's not like Christians who have the Holy Spirit and Christians who don't have the Holy Spirit. Oh, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit because... No, if you're a Christian, if you have given your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit lives inside you. That's how you got born again. So your pilot light is lit. And then what has to happen is we got to turn it up. We got to turn that flame up so that the whole life can begin to heat up and change. The pilot light is lit in every believer. The Holy Spirit is there, but we want to turn that thing up, and you will experience what we call the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Who was the guy that flew a kite and invented electricity? What was his name? Who was it? Was it Ben Franklin? He invented electricity, right? Wrong. Electricity wasn't invented. Electricity was there all the time. What Ben Franklin did was he tapped into it. He let his kite go up and the conditions were right. And he was able to access a power that had been present all around people for millions of years before it was ever discovered. Electricity wasn't invented, it was discovered. The Holy Spirit is in your life right now. Have you let your kite go up? Have you tapped in by faith to say, Lord, I want to experience what you have already provided for me? Because that experience will change your life in no less a dramatic way than the way electricity has changed the course of mankind. I will tell you that when I received the Holy Spirit, that is what changed my life. That experience of letting my kite up and receiving his power is really what changed my life. All right, real quick. I want to walk you through just a couple of truths here, because every believer has the Holy Spirit, but not every believer has tapped in. This is why Jesus, first of all, promised that when we ask for and receive the Holy Spirit, that we would get it. All right? If we already had it, he wouldn't be talking about the moment that would come when we would get it. So he says, a fuller, more powerful experience is going to happen. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you. And did he keep this promise? Yes, he's a promise keeper. If he promises you that you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, then you will receive power. And that's exactly what happened in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, you can read it. The wind rushed, fire fell, the church was born, the Holy Spirit came, and that experience was a fulfillment of the promise of Jesus. And in fact, lest you think that this was just some kind of one-off experience, just some unusual fluke of nature on one particular day. If you read the book of Acts, you will find five separate occasions where the Holy Spirit was received, where people received the Holy Spirit in groups and as individuals. And there was all kinds of things that happened to change people's lives. In other words, the church is the story of people letting their kite up and receiving power. This is not one thing that happened one time. This is the story of the history of Christianity. And for the last 2,000 years, hundreds of millions of people, are you listening to me, everybody? Hundreds of millions of people all over the world from every tribe and every tongue, every color and every culture have been receiving this glorious experience. Jesus wasn't kidding when he said, you'll receive power, and it happens. So when he makes a promise, it takes place. And the terms are pretty simple. You turn from your sins, you're baptized in the name of Jesus, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is not for some believers. That is for all believers. In fact, I'm going to out myself here. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was 14. Kathy and I were counting on the way to church this morning in the car. It was just about exactly 40 years ago, in December, that she dedicated her heart to Christ and received the Holy Spirit. Me, I beat her by about 6 months. I'm a little bit more spiritual than she is. We both came to the Lord. I beat her by about 6 months, and so that was about 40 years ago. We both received the Holy Spirit. We both were raised in church. We had no lack of religion. You understand what I'm saying? We had no lack of God and idols and prayers and verses and Bibles and all kinds of things that were a part of our. But when we were filled with the Holy Spirit, that's when the power fell. And both of us had an experience. This is where I'm outing myself. I speak in tongues. Kathy Canastracy speaks in tongues. That's a part of my life. It's a part of my experience and has been for these 40 years. And I think I'm fairly normal. I mean, I'm not too odd. At least you came today, right? And so I will tell you that praying in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues for me has been a marvelous, powerful, beautiful part of my relationship with Jesus and the way that my lamp has stayed lit for 40 years. And I can promise you, I would not be saved today if it was not for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And in particular, what I have drawn so much strength from is my prayer language. And praying in the Holy Spirit, which Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians. He said, I'll pray with the understanding, and I will pray in the Holy Spirit. He said, I will sing with the understanding, and I will sing in the, what? Spirit. He's talking about our prayer language there. Now, I wish I had hours to just talk to you about prayer language and Holy Spirit and all that, and I don't. But I have a teaching that I would like to send to you if you request it. You can just write to our team at info@gccsj and ask for, I've got this little thing called the 12 Benefits of Praying in the Holy Spirit. You can just send an email right now if you want to, or later if you like, and request the teaching. Last week I made a teaching available called 33 Ways the Holy Spirit Helps Believers. So you could ask for both of them if you want. 33 ways the Holy Spirit helps, and you could ask for 12 ways that praying in tongues is a benefit. So, and I give you all the scriptures there, and that takes the pressure off me so I don't have to share everything I know about the Holy Spirit all in one message. We would be here until at least 15 minutes from now, all right? No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, that was a bad joke, but we're moving on. All right, 12 benefits of praying in the Holy Spirit. So point number one is we need to personally experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Are you there? Okay, here's the second piece. These are life-changing truths. You must personally experience it, but also you must be personally responsible to stay filled. Because that's what this story is really all about. It's about people that blew it. And what was the ratio of people that blew it to people that didn't blow it? Jesus said about half of them. About half the people in this story blew it over the issue of sufficiency. They all had oil, but half of them did not have enough oil to make them ready to experience the fullness of what God has for them. That's why Paul the Apostle said, in a number of places, but especially Ephesians 5:18, he said, be filled with the Spirit. Don't get drunk. Don't try to fill your life with all kinds of crazy stuff. That'll put you in the grave. That'll take from you. Here's what you do. Here's how you live. You get filled with the Holy Spirit. And the way he said that, the structure of that sentence really implies that it's not just a one-time experience, but it's a daily experience. It's an ongoing experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we have to, as the bridesmaids and as the groomsmen, okay, as the keepers of the lamp, this is my lamp. I can't ask you to take responsibility for my lamp. And if my lamp gets empty, I can't come to you and say, come on, what are you going to do for me? Can't you see I'm empty? Come on, do it. Fill me. No. Everybody has to own their own lamp. And the only person that's responsible for whether I'm at a quarter or a half or three quarters or full is me, because I can have as much of the Holy Spirit as I purpose to have. How many understand what I'm saying? And if I'm empty, if I'm running dry, I can't blame the devil, and I can't blame the church, and I can't blame the pastor, and I can't blame my brother and sister sitting next to me, and I can't blame the bridegroom, and I can't blame the bride, and I can't blame the groomsmen, and I can't spend my whole life talking about how empty I am. All I need to do is just get filled. It's very simple. And so our responsibility as believers, Jesus is putting the responsibility on us to stay filled and stay ready. That's why the message is called, Are You Filled and Are You Ready? So we have to be responsible for that. Here's a question. There were five that had enough and five that didn't have enough. What did the five that had enough know that the five who didn't have enough didn't quite understand? What was the difference? It wasn't that oil isn't valuable, because all 10 of them knew how important oil was. But I think the five that didn't have enough missed one key point of understanding, and that is this, that oil must be constantly replenished. This is what we're saying. Otherwise, the lamp goes out. See, if you think, I just need to get oil one time in my life and I'm good to go, I'm good for the distance, then you will be somebody that never takes the time to get refilled and replenished. Did you know that it's the nature of an oil-burning lamp to consume oil? Oil disappears. Actually, oil burns away when a lamp is working right, and also oil evaporates. One evangelist said, why do people need to get refilled with the Holy Spirit? Because they leak. People leak, you know, and it's true. Just living a Spirit-filled life, just dealing with challenges and following the Lord and being a disciple of Jesus Christ, just going through that is going to consume a certain amount of oil. If your flame is burning, you're burning oil. So what's the answer? Either I'm going to end up empty, or I can learn to live a life where oil is being constantly put back into my life, where I'm being restored and replenished. See, oil has to be replenished or the lamp will go out. In just a few months, the Rose Bowl parade will take place. I think it's New Year's Day, right? Is it New Year's Day? And what is that? Is that Pasadena Boulevard that they go down? And I don't really like to watch television. I mean, to me, an idea of an exciting day is not watching a parade on TV. But anyway, a lot of people like to do that. And they have this parade, and it's awesome. But when they first started this parade, there was one particular float, and you know how it works. Everybody lines up in their place, and they spend all this time putting the flowers on the floats and making these amazing, creative floats, and they're usually on top of a automobile chassis, some kind of a motor engine that drives them, and somebody's in there hidden behind the flowers, and they're driving down the road, and everybody's lined up, and they have this big parade, right? Well, one of the floats in the very first Rose Bowl parade ran out of gas. It stopped. And so, of course, when it ran out of gas, then everything behind it had to stop, and the whole parade was held up while somebody went and found a can of gas somewhere, and they got some gas in that float, and it was able to start up again. But here's what was really crazy about, because that was the standard oil float. true story. It was a float put together by a company with millions of dollars of oil and petroleum and the resources to fuel a million floats. But because they didn't take the time, they didn't think it through, they were like the foolish virgins who just, they had access to all kinds of oil, but in the moment they lost their mind and they didn't take the right amount of oil. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to be humiliated when my heavenly bridegroom comes for the church and the shout goes in the air, come! It's the end time. Here I am. Let's go. And I'm looking around going, where's my oil? I don't know where my oil is. I don't have any oil. Oh, I want to meet Jesus. I don't care how many flowers you stick on me. I need fuel for life. I want to do more than look pretty. I don't want to come sputtering down, you know, the avenue of my life. I want to actually win in life. And that takes the fuel of the Holy Spirit. My question for us today is, are you filled? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And are you ready for your big moment? That's the question. Now, here's the last piece. In a few minutes, we're going to have some worship. But I can't let you go home without giving you this last piece because this is really important. And that is this. This will change your life. The Holy Spirit fills us through personal faith and surrender. How do we actually receive the Holy Spirit? How does that become a personal experience for us? First of all, I want to explain to you something about our culture as a church, because I'm a third-generation Spirit-filled minister. My roots are Pentecostal, and I love the Pentecostal experience. I love Pentecostal theology. But one of the features of Pentecostalism is a very aggressive, antics-driven kind of way of pressuring people in the area of receiving the Holy Spirit. I want to say to you that we do not do that in this church. We believe in the Holy Spirit, but we believe that experience is so personal and so real and so sacred that it shouldn't become a circus. So we would never embarrass anybody or do something awkward to you without your permission or what. We're not going to. We don't do awkward. We don't do forceful. We don't do that kind of thing. What we're going to do today is just allow people just right where you stand. If you just want to, at the end of the service, if you're just asking God for more, we're just going to let you do it right there. And nobody will be looking at you. You'll just be, this will be between you and the Lord. Does that sound good? So, I mean, we're not, you know, we're not setting you up for some kind of a high wire act here this morning in Gateway City Church. But we do want to introduce you to the power of this experience. So we're going to sing and we're going to worship and I'm going to pray for you. And this morning, many people came up to me after the first service and they said, I received the Holy Spirit today. And it was beautiful. And so I want you to get your faith up. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? You don't do it because somebody with funny hair and an accent lays his hand on you and slaps you and knocks you down or something. That's not necessary. Those things are a part of church history and maybe they have their place. But here's what's essential in receiving the Holy Spirit. It's just faith and openness. It's just a simple, just like you would receive anything from God. A healing, an answered prayer, anything. It's simple faith and openness and expectation. Let me tell you a story. It's from the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. Follow this story because it's a story of people coming to a place of faith and surrender. This is in Ephesus, one of the early churches, and there Paul, he found some disciples and he asked them, check this out, watch this. He asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now look, if receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit was automatic, why did Paul ask the question? Why was he checking if it's just automatic? Say, well, I'm saved. I must have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If it's true that you must have the fullness of the Holy Spirit the second you're saved, then why is Paul the apostle checking? He says, hey, I want to make sure that after you were born again, you had this additional full experience with the Holy Spirit. And the answer they give is surprising. They said, we haven't even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. Hold on. You mean you can receive Christ, be born again, be his child, and you don't know who the Holy Spirit is, that's exactly what this passage is teaching. Remember I told you, electricity is everywhere. It's always available, but you have to discover it. So Paul is checking, and he's saying, okay, did you receive the Holy Spirit? They said, we haven't even heard. And he says, so he asks another question. Let's talk about baptism. Remember Acts 2:38? Repent, be baptized, and you will what? Receive the Holy Spirit. Repent, be baptized, Holy Spirit. So now he's on the hunt. He goes, they haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. I better check and find out if they were even water baptized. So he checks that. What baptism did you receive? They said John's baptism, John the Baptist. So they go all the way back to before the public ministry of Jesus. And Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. That's good. He told people to believe. It was a baptism of repentance and faith. But on hearing this, they were baptized properly into what? The name of the Lord Jesus. And then Paul placed his hands on them. And what happened? What happened to these Christians? Their pilot light was lit. But it came upon them in fullness. And they received their prayer language and they prophesied. And all kinds of things can happen in your life when you receive the Holy Spirit. Some people receive the Holy Spirit and they cry. Some people receive the Holy Spirit. It's usually a very personal, very emotional, it's something you feel. You experience something. And it could happen to you the minute somebody prays for you to receive, or it could happen. I've heard many stories of people that 3 days later were driving down the road, or they were in their home doing dishes and the Holy Spirit just fell on them. The pilot light was lit, and then they didn't know when the bridegroom was coming, but boom, he came, and now they're experiencing the fullness of this thing. So there's no way to stage manage this. There's no way to force somebody to have an experience at a certain time. It's just a simple matter of asking, just like anything else that you do in life, where you're asking God by faith, and when the answer comes, it's a beautiful thing. So today we're going to ask. Many people will receive, even in this moment, but others will receive in time. The point is that we ask in faith and we surrender. Now, we ask for the Holy Spirit and we have to do this. Here's what Jesus said. We must ask. Everyone say ask. You know, James, the Lord's brother, said one time in the epistle of James, he said, you have not because you, what? He said, but I didn't know I was supposed to ask for the Holy Spirit. That's great. And so, but now that you know you're supposed to ask, you would just say, Lord, I ask you. I don't want to be half full. I don't want a little tiny drop. I'm dry. Lord, I want you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And you don't just ask one time. By the way, I ask for the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. I ask the Lord today for the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I'm going to be pouring out and preaching and trying to help people, trying to teach your word. I ask you for the Holy Spirit. That wasn't me saying I don't have the Holy Spirit. It was me saying I want more of the Holy Spirit. How many want more of the Holy Spirit? So how do you get more of the Holy Spirit? You ask and you believe. Here's what Jesus is saying. He says, you as parents, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more then will the Father in heaven give the, what? Holy Spirit to those who, what? Ask. It's a simple, you've got to ask. So you know what that tells me? The Holy Spirit's not going to force his way into your life. Oh, people say this all the time. Well, God knows my address, and if he wants me to have the Holy Spirit, he'll give me the Holy Spirit. No, he won't. Yes, he does know your address. But it's not his job to hunt you down, tackle you, and fill your lamp with oil. That's not his job. What he's saying is, if you come to me and you say, Lord, I'm running low, I'd like you to fill me. He says, you can bet your bippy that you are going to receive the Holy Spirit. Are you with me so far? So let's just take all the mystery out of this. Let's take all the awkwardness out of this. Let's take all the force and religion and stage managing and, you know, special music. Let's just say, Lord, I ask you for the Holy Spirit. And by faith, I receive because I believe your promise. And then I would give you this advice, surrender to him. If you want God to fill your lamp, you just say, Lord, I ask you for it. And then, but you can't do it like this. You can't say, Lord, I want the Holy Spirit, but I'm not ready to give you everything. I want the goodies, but I'm keeping my lamp. He says, no. When you ask, you have to hand it to me. Put it in my hand. Have you put your life into God's hands? Because it's not just, Lord, what can I get from you? But Lord, what can I give to you? So I say, Lord, as I surrender and I ask you to fill my life, I'm acknowledging that I want to be filled so that you can use me. So now my life becomes available to you. I'm surrendering to the Holy Spirit, and I'm turning control over to him. Does that make sense, everybody? So you believe his promise, you surrender to him, and just like the apostles and the people in the upper room on that day of Pentecost, they waited. They just waited. They stayed in prayer. They stayed in faith. I don't know exactly why it took the amount of time it did. The Bible, Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. He comes when he wants to. But they waited, and they waited for him, and he came in such a beautiful way. They were baptized so beautifully in the Holy Spirit. It wasn't awkward. It wasn't convulsive. It was beautiful. He came like a dove. He came like a mighty rushing wind. He came like a fire. So here's my question to all you bridegrooms, all you bridesmen, and all you bridesmaids, are you filled and are you ready? Because if you want to be, you can be. Would you join me here as we stand together? I'm going to pray for you. First thing that we're going to do is just pray. And then in a moment, we're going to sing and just kind of have Holy Spirit time. Father, I pray for people right now. I pray, Lord, for all of us that are empty, all of us that have just been kind of drained in life. Life is draining, Lord. And we leak. We need, Lord, to be filled, and we need to be refilled. I pray, Lord, that today our hunger would just come to a brand new place, and that many people in a very special way, in a very personal way, Lord, would receive the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. For those that have received it before, Lord, we pray that it would just refill them. And those that have never received, Lord, that it would be a marvelous experience of refilling, of infilling of the Holy Spirit. We ask you, Lord, fill our lamps with oil. There's a prayer on the screen. I want to just give them 1 minute to get that prayer up there. And I want to ask you to do, usually we have our singing and then we pray, but today I just feel like I want you to ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to go into our singing and God's really going to touch you. So let's say this prayer together out loud. Come on, join me. Father God, thank you for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Lately, my lamp has been running a little low. I want to be ready for your return. I ask you to fill me. Say that part again. I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit and release the full blessing of the Helper in my life. I receive it now through faith. And one of the things I think we have to remember too in a culture of bigness, where everything's big, everything's incredible, I think we have to remember God's counsel not to despise the day of small beginnings. Because everything that God does starts small. And you may just have a moment of infilling that just lasted a moment. Maybe you've never received your prayer language before. It doesn't really matter. It's not a contest. It's not a contest. But wherever you are, don't despise where you are. Just continue on seeking the Lord. Just continue on to hunger after him and love him and watch the 5 loaves and 2 fishes turn into enough for a multitude. You were created to be filled with the fullness of God. So you start right where you are and you just keep walking, all right? It's not like, hey, boom, we dropped the mic. That was it. That was awesome. We're done. This is just the beginning of a Spirit-filled life for you. How many want more of the Holy Spirit than you have right now? Amen. Father, bless the people and fill them, Lord, to overflowing. Let that river, even if it just begins as a trickle, let it turn into a mighty river of blessing, Lord. A mighty river of blessing that not only satisfies us, but touches our city, Lord. Touches our family. Lord, take this precious Holy Spirit that we've experienced now and let it touch our world, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. I love you guys with all my heart. All our pastors do. And I know you love each other. Thank you for being just like an amazing, loving community. Take a minute before you rush out the door and greet two or three people and love somebody, high five somebody. We are having a welcome weekend reception for those of you that can join us right now in room 201. Also, the information table for the Inspired Life. And Robbie, Bria, a few of your friends and a few of our pastors are going to be right here just praying over you as well. And the prayer teams, if you're on the prayer team, thank you, Pastor Brad. Just come. If you need prayer, there'll be folks right up here at the front. God bless you. Take a minute. Love one another.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.